What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live on Facebook. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitch. We're live on Twitter. Maybe we're live on Crowdcast still. Who even knows? Or maybe you're listening to us later on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's all good, all together now in the hood. And I say that every episode. That's a natural.
You do. That's your catchphrase. I get my podcast by having my gas station attendant just sort of mumble them to me while I'm getting filled up.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Is that the right answer? That's the way we're supposed to do it.
Yeah, you're just sort of, you whisper it into a shell at night and you throw it into the ocean. And if it comes back, it's a podcast, man.
It was meant to be. If it comes back. But then someone else finds it and puts the shell up to a microphone. And that's how a podcast is made.
Pete, your opinions on this? Over to you.
I just wanted to say, I think that you have a great mad scientist look going, and I think, you know, it's just like,
is that a long way of saying I need a haircut? Because I do.
Well, I just, you know, that, or just shock yourself and your hair just straightens right up. Yeah. I think it's working for you and I love it.
88 gigawatts.
He definitely doesn't say 88. It's 1.21 gigawatts.
88.
It's 88 miles per hour. Yeah. Get it back. You would be horrible back in time.
Otherwise,
you die. Otherwise, yeah, you're stuck there. You're
landing. 88 gigawatts.
That feels like two. If it's 1.21. 88 gigawatts is a little unreachable, even in the future.
Also, is gigawatts electricity? I really, this whole bit,
I think, or you mean the bit of the Back to the Future movie franchise? It's not a bit. That's a reality that I still live by.
Well, listen, we have two amazing guests this evening. Yay! So we don't waste too much time bringing them in. Our first one is a returning guest to the show. He has a new book coming out tomorrow. Archie Comics book, introducing Archie's Super Mecha Teens. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Kibblesmith. Hello, Daniel. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for beaming in from Los Angeles, your new home. We appreciate it. I hope you haven't gone to Hollywood for us.
I'm so Hollywood right now.
Just those arch doorways behind you are just screaming. Really,
I know, right? This is that Airbnb life. Here's how Hollywood I've gone. I have a lamp shaped like the state of California.
Wow, that is Hollywood.
That's how you know that I'm staying in a place designed for tourists, because only a psycho would have that in their own home.
an actual resident.
State that we live in much? I do.
Hilarious.
That's why my floor is made out of New York pizza. Is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just always smart. Remind
I insist my family wear the I Love New York, the new one, t-shirts around the house just to show.
NYC.
There's a new one?
Yeah.
There's a new one. It's way worse.
Anatomically correct? Like, I don't know how you improve on that.
It's like they this is very nerdy, but like they change the kerning a little bit. So it looks like says We NYC Heart instead of We Heart NYC, like the heart is outside of it.
That's a true disaster.
And I've been trying, this is a very, I feel like I feel comfortable talking about this on here because this is a very dumb bit that I'm probably never going to do. But like they have all these ads running out to support the ad campaign, which are all like, these different slogans that they keep rolling out. I didn't find it on my phone, but
I was going to say, you want to drop a graphic treatment that you've been working on this podcast?
No. So the thing is, like, they have all these ads and they're running on like Subway ads and stuff, but so quickly I haven't been able to take pictures of them. So it's way too late on this bit. But the whole ad campaign is like, we never overpay for a slice of pizza, and then it goes to We NYC Heart, except it's supposed to be We Love NYC.
Sure,
like it's all we this, like, all of these things
stuff.
Yeah, but it's this very weird, like stark gothic white on white font on this black background, And every time I see it, like I keep thinking that it makes sense if you add Eddie at the end and say it in a Venom voice. So if anybody sees it out there, try that. I haven't been able to take
the picture. We never stop walking at the top of the subway stairs, Eddie.
100%.
Well done. Well done.
That's the first time I've tried that. I think that
I think you killed it.
That's good. That's good. Tom Hardy
was right. Give myself a solid B+ on that one.
See, that's that California lamp just beaming
that's
LA
right.
energy.
That's right. It. That's me going Hollywood. I'm a professional Venom impersonator now.
Well, listen, let's go. B plus to perform into an A plus performance on your new Archie's book. So this is very fun. This is to set this up a little bit. Coming out tomorrow. This is classic style Archie Comics characters, but it's them driving mechas. It has anime infused ideas in it. It is very fun and it's very silly and very goofy and very enjoyable at the same time. How did this come about? Did you approach them? You're like, I got to do Archie and mechas. Did they come? What was the genesis?
Like basically my entire career, Twitter had something to do with it. I met, now editor in chief Mike at Free Comic Book Day in 2018, I think. And at the time, I hadn't done anything Archie related or approached them, but I knew that they had in the past had the Mega Man license. And I showed him the here. I think I for the viewers live, the listeners at home. I'm
holding nice.
This is my bootleg 8-bit Iceman phone case.
Dude, that is awesome.
Thank you. That is illegal to make and own and sell, but I do have one. And at the time, I had a licensed. I had the Iceman sprite as my keychain. I showed it to Mike, and I said, "I want to do something Mega Man." And Ryan, our now artist on this, is also like a huge Mega Man fan. So, you know, fingers crossed for that happening one day. But what actually happened was I don't think they had the license anymore, but now we were on each other's radar. And I tweeted at some point how badly I wanted to do Archie meets Pacific Rim. And I even mentioned... I even mentioned some of like the mecha names that we ended up using in this story, because at that time I didn't really have a full understanding of like how big and flexible the Archie universe could be. But I knew that they were doing these licensed tie-ins like Archie and Predator and Archie and Sharknado and these things where you could kind of play with the characters in the house style still being in like a genre situation or even like a gory and dangerous situation. So I pitched that first. And then in the intervening time, we did the Archie meets Riverdale crossover.
Yes.
Which was this crazy long gestating COVID project that's, you know, still out now. I would love it if people tracked it down, especially if you're a Riverdale fan and you don't read a lot of Archie. We're really, really proud of it. And then
especially since the show Riverdale has sort of is doing that also. Like, they have come around to your comic.
Yeah, I mean, and that just really speaks to, like, the word malleability comes up every time I talk Archie.
Yeah.
Because that's it. I mean, there's a handful of characters. Sorry, you might hear a garbage truck backing up right now. There's a handful
an LA of garbage truck?
Wow, that's amazing.
It's so Hollywood. It's being driven by Keanu Reeves.
Whoa, look out.
He's everywhere. He's so nice. He loves his day job.
He's a down-to-earth everyman. So we always talk about how you can plug them into anything. You know, the same way you can have Dark Knight Returns and Batman 66. Like, there are these characters that can go to space. They can meet Santa Claus. They can do anything. And one of the things they can do is mecha anime without it necessarily having to be the Pacific Rim license. When we finally got around to this idea, the way it was kind of pitched back to me was that this could just, you know, like the Archie Super Teens, this could just be something that they do in their own little spin-off universe that would give us a lot of flexibility, not to riff on one existing license, but to take all of our influences. And Ryan in particular is such a fan and devotee of this stuff, to create a Archie universe we could come back to. The same way you can come back to the Super Teens stuff and come back to, you know, the Time Police stuff.
Yeah. So to recap real quick, you'd say all artists should jump on Twitter, a fertile space ready to welcome any artists.
I would say now more than ever. It is,
and
the
second,
place to...
yeah, especially yeah. The dogs listening.
It's like I would call it, what I always call it is the internet's town square. You know, like that's a phrase that I use.
Right. That's really smart. You should print that on your phone case, Alex.
Yeah.
But Daniel, I feel like there is an easy way to do this and sort of a harder way to do this. Easy way, you sort of just mech it up, have them fight some sort of like a Reggie or a Weatherby or something like that. But you actually map all of the relationships onto sort of the story that you're telling. Can you sort of walk us through that a little bit? Because I loved that part. It really elevated the story.
Well, thank you. I mean, part of this is that I keep getting these gigs that are like 5-page, 10-page
yeah.
stories. And they're a lot harder in some ways because you need to make everything feel really lived in. And by virtue of making everything feel really lived in, especially if you're introducing kind of like a new, you know, multiversal sort of concept, they all end up to me feeling like backdoor pilots. Like I'm certainly writing them like backdoor pilots. So the relationships with Archie, it's really doable because you have these shorthands that are originating from, you know, the Archie relationships that people kind of have in their head already. And this is something that I talk about anytime I talk about writing comics, is that I think that in some ways it's a lot easier to write IP comics because the characters are so well-rounded and I've lived with them so long. And, you know, I did something like Black Panther versus Deadpool, and there was never a moment where I didn't know what those two guys would do in a room together.
Right, yeah.
I know who they are, and everybody knows who Betty and Archie and Veronica and Jughead are. They all, I mean, virtually everyone who exists in some familiarity with pop culture has a working understanding of those relationships. So the fun here then was like, okay, you know, how does that bounce off of the genre tropes? Like, I think anyone who reads this will recognize that it is primarily Neon Genesis Evangelion inspired, despite originating with Pacific Rim. And visually, Ryan has also injected like tons and tons of different Easter eggs because his knowledge of this stuff is encyclopedic. But my sort of primary, you know, my North Star on this was Neon Genesis. And I just looked for the places where they overlapped. You know, I looked for the places where if you plug this into this, does that generate electricity? And the thing that Archie and Neon Genesis Evangelion have in common, like the big screaming flashing light theme that they both share, is indecision paralysis. So that is what this story is about. Archie has spent you know, virtually 100 years trying to make one decision.
Yeah, it's his superpower at the end of the day, is his inability to make any decision
putting off commitments.
Yeah.
Were there any characters in particular that were harder to map, ones that were didn't quite work or didn't fit in?
Reggie's not in this, and that okay. is, if there was a sequel, it would be very Reggie focused because Reggie is my favorite. And I just couldn't quite figure, like I said, this is a shorter story, and I just couldn't figure out how to put him in, because right now, if there is somebody sort of serving that role, it's Jason Blossom. You know, there's already kind of like a kind of a blowhard, and, you know, like one of my favorite movies of all time, the incredibly underrated Pacific Rim, from Academy Award winning director of Blade 2, Guillermo del Toro.
Just trying to chart my path through your conversation here.
It's all
tricky.
There. It's all there. Yeah,
it's like a double black diamond.
Here's what I was. It's an ocean, not a spider web. You can go. You can go in any direction. So in Pacific Rim, one of the tropes that we're borrowing for this story is that the mechs require two pilots, and the functionality of those pilots hinges upon a sort of. It's very clever in the movie. I'm not taking credit for this idea, but the metaphor of you know, emotional compatibility, and whether that's partnership or familial or friends or romance, that is the other, besides paralysis and decision, that's the other, you know, big thing that we're riffing on in this Archie Mecha story, is that the gag, you know, has been Archie is a good match with Betty and a good match with Veronica. So, you know, we are creating a literal doomsday threat reason that he has to decide whom he is a better match with.
Yeah.
And I won't give away the ending.
Yeah. Don't spoil it. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. But he finally makes a choice, and it's permanent for the rest of the history.
It's a permanent choice. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Certainly for this TV show.
Yeah, all of, gosh, I mean, you're starting to sound like my Instagram commenters. I do not have control over.
Do you get that?
You weigh in. You get to weigh in a little bit. Though,
I get,
right?
I get that a little. I get that a little bit because Riverdale has such a, you know, passionate fan base that they're really looking for. It's like the Velociraptors testing the electric fence. You know, they're looking for the person who can make. You know, can you please make these two characters kiss? Yeah. And I don't have that. I don't have that power.
Now I wanted to ask you about something entirely different, just because it's been a while since we've had you on the show, and I know this is a while back, but in Loki, the TV show, they used Vote Loki, which you had something to do with, right?
No, that was Hastings. Don't worry, it happens all the time, because Loki was, you know, for a while, Loki only existed in these sort of like 4-issue pops. Yeah. But I did have a line of dialogue in the Loki show. Richard E. Grant says he's, you know, he's old Loki or King Loki or evil Loki. I'm not really sure what he's designated as. But that Loki variant who wears the Jack Kirby costume, he has a line of dialogue from our Loki 2019 series where he declares himself to be the god of outcasts. Which is something that we played with in our series, which I wish would have stuck around, but we didn't make very many Loki comics. Yeah. We got a solid 5 after that, and I think if you read Loki number 5, you can tell that we made some decisions on how to sort of wrap it up and hint at a lot of things that would have been coming down the pipe. But I love the Loki program. I'm so honored to, you know, even indirectly contribute to it.
I love that they do the research to get into like a line by line, like, oh, let's write this line down. I mean, I don't know how it feels as a creator to be like, they just took that line and put it on TV. But it's everyone's talking about how the creative shifting at Marvel and the corporate machinations and like, are they still going to do the comic book stuff? And it feels like they were at least recently still doing deep dives.
I mean, again, just as I cannot make any two Riverdale characters kiss each other, I have no idea what happens at Marvel Studios. But
just to check, can you make two Marvel characters kiss each other?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. I can make do the math. Let me do the math on this. I can make Groot kiss the Hulkbuster armor, but there's nobody in it.
Oh man.
No one in it?
Wow. It.
Bummer. Oh, what if we put Archie?
Here's what
in
I'll
it?
Say. Here's
can we get Archie in it?
Well, yeah, in this comic that is essentially what happens. I will say the Hulkbuster armor has a squirrel in it, something that does happen in Marvel Snap that makes me laugh every time.
Nice. What else is coming up for you? What else do you want to plug before we let you go?
I am doing another Marvel story. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what, but I have a Marvel story coming out. It's 10 pages, so I assume it will be inside of a longer issue of Marvel Comics with other short stories in it. I am primarily working on television programs right now, but none of those have been announced yet either. So this is kind of the big thing. Everybody go out tomorrow and buy Archie All Action number 1, because that's what I have. If you want to support Kibble Smith Enterprises, that's really the way to do it right now.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to get 49 other state lamps, and he needs
trying to complete my wall.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the full Sufjan and try to get lamp-shaped light.
We all know how well that went for him, so I'm sure you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Daniel, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the book. Yeah, it's very fun. And fingers crossed, I do definitely want to see more of it, particularly that Reggie story. It'd be fun.
Same, yeah. If you guys enjoy this, get in my Instagram comments. Tell me to do things. Do tell Archie Comics that you liked this and that you'd love to see me and Ryan do more, because boy, does that guy know a lot about mecha anime. And I think that there's a lot of really crazy places that this little subuniverse could go.
Awesome.
Archie flexibility. Great touch point.
Yeah, it's a really malleability. There you go. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on again. Great seeing you. Have a great night.
Thanks for having me.
Later.
There we go. Once again, you can pick that up tomorrow from Archie Comics. That was Daniel Kibblesmith. Great guy. Great to have him gone. Yes.
And there are also two other stories in the book. It's great classic Archie stuff. Like, it's definitely a package.
It's a lot of fun.
Picking up.
Absolutely.
Justin, was it tough to see him in LA like that? Were you missing it? You know what I mean?
LA's my place. No, I don't claim ownership of that town, that sink town. I'm very happy here in my lawnmower-laden basement here in Brooklyn.
Today. Yeah, it looks like you're about to turn around and hop on a pogo stick and just hop
away. Now you've given me idea for next week. Let me also say, I was in Miami yesterday, and that place is no fun, especially when it comes to air travel.
Air travel, because I was going to say I saw a show that you were a part of that was in Miami, and it looked like a blast.
We did have some fun down there. We were really selling it up.
This is great. Let's talk more about travel. Why don't we move on and bring in our next guest? He is the creator of Imposter Syndicate, which is currently up on Zoop. Ladies and gentlemen, Zoop. Matt D. Wilson. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
I have my own.
Can we be sure that this is the real Matt D. Wilson here, or some sort of imposter? Is my first hard question.
You will never know for sure.
Oh wow, that's fair. We did just meet you.
Well, and also just to mention, it sounds like you're about to launch into a story, and we're wrecking it. We're wrecking whatever bit you were coming in with. But there's another Matt Wilson. There's Matthew Wilson, who does inking. Is it inking or coloring? I always forget.
Coloring. And coloring. I know that very well because my Twitter profile and all my social media profiles and the banner I take to comic conventions all say not the colorist on them. I have been to conventions where people have approached me with books that he has colored. And I've had to politely be like, that's not me.
To be fair, if you signed your name, it's pretty much the same.
That's
right?
True. I will not besmirch his books with my signature, but I don't think anyone's done the same to him with my books. And someone please do that. Someone please take something I've written to colorist Matthew Wilson's table. give me some comeuppance on that. The problem is he's an extraordinarily nice guy. I've met him at shows, and he's too nice for me to even be mad at. So,
yeah,
it's a real problem.
And just you didn't do the time cop thing, right, where you touch and you turn into like a ball of flesh?
Not yet. There are shows to be had in the future where maybe at the bar after a show we turn into a ball of flesh, but not yet.
You came in though and you were going to say something and we completely cut you off.
Yeah,
what was that?
I was just going to show my Chicago L.
There you go.
poster, which is not where I live. But I just showed the poster.
Just a fan of Chicago.
Man, everyone loves the geography, I guess. It's where, where are you then?
I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, a great town, Asheville.
Yeah. But I used to live in Chicago, so that's how I remember it.
It's great. All your memories on that on the train? That's a train map, right?
It is a train map. An old one from well before I lived there. But
nice.
I think about when I lived there in the 1930s.
What a dream.
Well, let's talk about Imposter Syndicate, which is not actually about two different Matt Wilsons. It has an entirely different plot. Do you want to give the pitch of the book to folks?
Sure. So I am a longtime reader of comics and watcher of comics animated shows in particular. This is less of a phenomenon in movies because villains who die in movies sometimes stay dead and sometimes just get recast. But in comics and in cartoons, you constantly see supervillains get into situations where it seems like they should be dead. And there's always that thing where they don't find the body and the hero says, well, I don't think we'll be seeing them again because the blimp they were on was on fire and it crashed into the bay, or they slid into a sewer. They're never coming back. But then they do. They always come back.
Yeah. It's like when I finish a task and I'm like, well, there's no way I'll ever see that problem again.
Yeah.
And then the next day, there it is.
There's no way
clothes need to be put back on.
The trash will ever fill up again and I'll never
have to take it out. I've defeated garbage.
Yeah. But the villains always come back and rarely with any explanation as to how they survived the thing that they seem to die from. So I had the thought of, what if they really did die in those accidents, those situations, or they got so injured they couldn't keep doing the job anymore, or they just got sick of it and quit. But there's some need in the world for these stories to keep happening, for the villains to come back, for superheroing to always go on. And so in Imposter Syndicate, there is a shadowy organization that is hiring actors to take the roles of supervillains who die or quit. And so our first issue follows the guy at the top there, John, as he is approached by someone from that shadowy organization, a representative of that shadowy organization, to take over the role of the third string supervillain, the Bonobo. Which is great. Essentially just like he just wears like an ape costume. And he goes from there. It's the role he couldn't turn down to be the new Bonobo. So that's the idea. Supervillains get replaced by actors.
I mean, as an actor, I think we can all agree it's you'll take any job.
Well, that was my question, Justin. Would you really be that desperate for that kind of job? You know what I mean?
I think when a job comes over the line, and if you don't currently have a job, I mean, I often say yes to jobs, not just acting, but across any sort of entertainment spectrum. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be complicated and difficult, but I'll do it. You asked me, right? I say yes.
Where did the idea for the Bonobo come from, other than the fact that monkey-type characters are funny?
So I don't think I've made any secret of this, and Marvel doesn't have really litigious lawyers, right, that will come after me. No, the idea for this book is from 20 years ago. I had it in 2003 when Marvel tried to relaunch the Epic line. And if you remember that relaunch, which was announced in Marvel number 6.
Deep cut, sir.
Yeah. That whole issue was just announcing the Epic line's return. The gimmick of the Epic line then was that they were going to take pitches from anyone. They were like, just pitch us your idea. And I was 19 and I thought, I got one. I could pitch him a book. This. And so originally this book was that pitch. And the villain, instead of being the Bonobo, was the Gibbon from Marvel. And I've always thought that ape-based supervillains are funny. And I've always loved second and third string bad guys. A hidden gem comic that I would invite anyone to go read is the Spectacular Spider-Man issue with the Legion of Losers, which included the Gibbon, the Grizzly, Spot, White Rabbit, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but
I remember that.
Yeah, I've always just been fascinated by those characters and thought they were really funny. And so originally, yeah, the bonobo was the gibbon. And when Marvel rejected my idea, which, how dare they?
Well, to be fair, also everybody rejected Marvel, and I believe that took down Marvel for a while.
Well, and also I think there were only three Epic books that ever got released, and none of them were submissions from regular readers. There was a Crimson Dynamo book, and one of the Epic books was Trouble, and
woof.
I don't remember what the third Epic book was, but nonetheless.
Didn't we reread Trouble for us? We did.
Somebody
request?
Requested it. Yeah.
Whoof. That book is, I cannot believe that made print. That is a wild comic book.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that happened.
thank you for taking some credit for it, because you were all mixed up over there then pitching this book.
The pitch makes me think of Princess Diaries, the Dread Pirate Roberts, where, you know, it's like, hey, I'm not actually the Dread Pirate Roberts. Princess Bride, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, look at Pete. What's your top of your mind? Princess Diaries. That's the life you live.
After the show, every single week, Pete goes out and he either watches Princess Diaries or Princess Diaries 2 Royal Engagement, just one after the other.
Look, Princess Diaries got a mention on the last episode of Ted Lasso. We're all thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that 100%.
You gotta wonder what Pete is thinking about, because Pete has watched that recent episode of Ted Lasso just to scare the live show fans as well. How many times in 1 week?
I don't know, man. It's too many. It's over
ballpark.
10.
That's over 10. 10. Yeah, in over 10. 6 days, over 10 times, he's watched a half an hour, well, 45 minutes of television.
Wait, hold on. Actually, I want to check on something. Did you just watch that episode, or did you watch the entirety of Ted Lasso up to that episode as well 10 times?
Well, I've been doing, I go back and start season 3 over again and watch them all. Saying. And then I go back and redo the whole thing.
Sorry, okay, Matt, this so is an intervention. Check,
when you don't text me back, this is what's going on?
Yeah, I'm busy. I got stuff going on.
Yeah, when Pete, you're like, my time's too precious to record podcasts. You're like, because you're rewatching Ted Lasso for the ninth time.
Hold on a second. You said you were busy with soccer games all weekend. Were you just watching Ted Lasso?
Nope.
Is that what was happening?
This is a soccer game.
No, man. I'm going hard to the soccer games, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. None of this tracks. Sorry, Matt. We were talking about your book. So you finally,
go get a sandwich. You guys hash it out.
After all of these years, though, you finally got to do the book. What was it like actually getting it down on paper and having it come out of your brain after sitting there?
Well, getting it down on paper was the thing that happened a long time ago. I wrote the script to pitch it to Epic. And obviously, like I said, when Marvel rejected it, I reworked it into this non-Marvel parody satire kind of thing with legally distinct characters and kind of building it out into its own world. And I sort of played with the idea more as time went on, of the idea of a world where like superheroes and supervillains are not only real in the world, but also like the biggest form of entertainment in the world, kind of like our own. where they're in movies and TV shows and stage plays and video games, and you know, they're the biggest thing in the world. They're the biggest entertainment industry. And so I was thinking about this idea where like actors are always looking for work in superhero media. So what if one of these actors got approached to actually be a supervillain, even though they don't know that that's what other supervillains out on the street are also actors who have been hired. So it is sort of, it's sort of like an opposite Dread Pirate Roberts, where he's like, I'm not the Dread Pirate Roberts. Whereas these supervillains want to convince you that they're actually still the last guy who was wearing the costume. It's the writing part I did a long time ago. I've tweaked and updated it over time. But the really big part for me has been getting it drawn, finding someone to do the art for it. Because, you know, back when I first created this idea, I didn't have money to pay an artist, and I didn't know any artists to ask, really. And there weren't as many places to kind of connect with artists as there are now. And then once I got to a point where I could connect with artists, I was doing other projects, other stuff was coming up. I was podcasting. I was, you know, there just wasn't time. And then as 20 years after having this idea was creeping up, I was realizing I really got to do this thing. And I had worked with Rodrigo Vargas, who did the art on Imposter Syndicate. We had worked on another book called Everything Will Be Okay. And I thought he was just an amazing fit for it. And the art he's done is so much better than I originally imagined this looking. And so that's the part where I'm really like amazed. Like I have a kind of wow moment when I see it turned into this incredible, dynamic, hilarious art.
And it's great. I mean, it really does look very great. Like you're saying, the art is very dynamic for the pages I've seen. What was it like hooking up with Zoop? Just to mention for anybody who hasn't taken a look at it, your campaign has been successful, which is awesome. Yeah. You were looking for 6,000. You got over 8,000 now. As of right now, you have 9 days left. So there's still plenty of time to pledge for it. But what was it like getting this project on Zoop? What did that do in terms of like spurring it on to completion potentially?
I've done Kickstarters before, and they've helped me get projects out there and do things. But the thing about Kickstarter is when you do a project, you're kind of on your own. You wear all the hats. Like I was writer, editor, shipping clerk, customer service manager, warehouse manager, because all the books were in my office here.
Of course.
And it was just, you know, you do it all when you're doing a Kickstarter campaign. And, you know, if Kickstarter was the only thing that was still there, I would still use it to fund, you know, my next book potentially. But once I learned about Zoop, Zoop kind of got on my radar pretty early, because on War Rocket Ajax, my podcast, we had talked to some creators who had done Zoop projects, and I sort of became aware of them. And I think it was when we were talking to Nick Pitara about Axe Wielder John, which was a Zoop project.
Yeah.
He said something to the effect of, you know, they help with some of that stuff, the like getting the book printed and doing some of the shipping and dealing with, you know, communicating with the customers and all of that kind of stuff. And that really perked up my ears as like, oh, there's somebody who can help me with those parts.
Yeah. Oh, and I need help with those parts.
Yeah, for sure. That's not my forte. I'm not. You know, I want to do the creative stuff. I don't really want to do the kind of logistical stuff. And so once I heard about that, I was like, okay, the next one I'm doing is a Zoop project. Once we got to the point we were like, we're ready to do this, let's do this. I got in touch we were off to the races.
That's great. I just want to drop in. Obviously, we've talked about the book and pitched it, but your tonal comparisons here, I think, are really good. For fans of superhero satires like The Tick, that makes celebrity culture with superheroes like Ecstatics. Yeah. I feel like that's such a fun zone to be in on both sides.
Two of my favorite superhero pieces of media ever made. Like The Tick will always, anytime I think about superheroes, The Tick's going to influence me in some way or another. And like in the first issue of Imposter Syndicate, the superhero and supervillain you see are kind of like clear analogs for Marvel characters. But then when we get into the second issue, they're more like Tick style, satirical, funny characters. And I want to do more of that. Like that's, that's the kind of stuff I've always liked. And I've always kind of liked the superhero media that takes the piss out of superheroes a little bit. That sends up the tropes. So those are two key kind of waypoints for me.
For sure. In terms of the Zoop campaign, and we ask this every time, but I always find it interesting in terms of like bonuses and things like that. What other than the book can people get if they pledge?
Well, some of the rewards are already gone.
Success.
The bigger commission by Rodrigo, you can't get that anymore, but there's still a smaller size commission that you can get as an add-on. And I would highly recommend it. Rodrigo's commissions are so good. And I'm lucky to have a couple because I know him a little bit. There's that. There's still a couple of spots to get actually drawn into the comic as a background character, which nice. I think is a super cool reward that people can get.
Definitely.
There are retailer bundles. I think all the bundles where you get additional books have been claimed. But there were bundles where you could get some of my King Oblivion supervillain how-to books.
Yeah.
And there was one or two that had Everything Will Be Okay books included. But yeah, I think
they're gone. I'm looking at the page now, and it's... Yeah. You've got a lot of people on board here who are craving those extras.
Awesome. Matt, listen, this project is great. Congratulations on all the success. You mentioned it a little bit, but you also do a great podcast called Boar Rocket Ajax. Where can people check that out? Wherever you can get podcasts, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in all those places. Go on your Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Stitcher, and I list these off sometimes on the show, and I'm done now. But you could go get War Rocket Ajax on any of those, or you could just go to warrocketajax.com, and it has every episode we've ever done, which is like 700 something now.
Yeah, this comic book culture podcasting really starts to expand once you start turning on the mics. Am I right? Look, we can really get into it, obviously. It's a contemporaries moment.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll talk shop.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're talking shop.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. Congratulations on the project.
Book is great, man.
I can't wait to see the finished book. It's gonna be so cool.
I hope it is in people's hands very soon. And I thank all of you guys for having me on. It was great to be here.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Matt. Your coloring, by the way. I love the coloring that you do.
Really great color.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Goodbye.
I'll just take credit for it.
Right. Enjoy the elevated train a generation ago.
All right. There we go. Once again, the project is called Imposter Syndicate. It is up on Zoop now, and it really is great. It's a gorgeous book. It's a very fun book for the pages.
Yeah, it really is.
As well.
It's really good. Yeah.
Definitely.
Great. The art's a great blend of superhero, but with the fun side of it, as we're talking about with the superhero satire. Like, it's really great.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more. And now we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
Woo-hoo! Yay, cute!
You for audience questions is drop a question in the comments, simply on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and we will get you my favorite about absolutely anything. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for that, guys, now I'll mention Stray Bullet. Our chef is sadly under the weather this week. So he had a great idea for a cocktail. He dropped here in the comments. I'm going to see if I can find it. Not to put too much pressure on him. Basically, he said that he was going to, for Imposter Syndicate, make a margarita that was actually a daiquiri. Was that the idea? Ah,
yes, I love that. An imposter cocktail.
So cool. It's great, but we're drinking regular cocktails, I guess. I'll mention I am drinking a Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA right now.
Ooh, very nice. Good. Very intense, caramelly. Heavy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got that Genesee Springbok Genesee beer at Wegmans that you can get.
Wegmalandos. I was there today. They got them in Baltimore, and I'm drinking a Zadie's, speaking of Baltimore.
Nice. You got the, I got the local upstate beer. You got the local Baltimore beer. Alex is drinking like a caramel.
Kind of
or just candy caramel. Bar. I'm drinking some caramel. Well, cool. Let's see if we got any questions here. Here we go. We got one from Nan Card. Pete, what's your favorite part of the Princess Diaries?
Oh,
good. Yeah, I already spoke on this, and you know, I said it was Princess Bride.
But you've seen the Princess Diaries. You've talked about it before.
No, I've never seen the Princess Diaries. So.
I'm pretty sure you've spoken on the Princess Diaries as a rom-com. It's part of the rom-com beat.
Wait, I'm sorry. You've never seen the Princess Diaries, Pete?
No, I have not.
What
I was watching, it was watching all of the Princess Switches. You know, you got to commit to one team.
Switch is what you
call. Yeah, I've seen the Princess Switch. I've seen all of those. They're fantastic. You know, but I haven't seen Princess Diaries.
That seems insane to me. Like, just knowing you for this long, but you haven't seen like a foundational rom com is very weird.
Well, I also think are you like you only have room for one princess themed rom-com at a time?
Well, obviously that's not true because Princess Bride is my go-to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Pete, do you think, and I know the answer is going to be no, but do you think I was going to say, do you have room for skipping 3 episodes of Ted Lasso to your rewatch? But frankly, with the length the episodes are this season, skipping 2 episodes of Ted Lasso to your rewatch, I just watched The Princess Diaries. Anne Hathaway is in it. Julie Andrews. It's very charming. You'll love it.
You're watching a like Avatar Way of Water length episode, Ted Lasso sesh.
All right, I'll check it out.
Wow, we've really connected.
If it sucks,
here
though,
today.
I'm going to be pretty pissed off.
Oh my God, it doesn't suck. All right, here we go. This is from Derek Mainhart. Voltron or Power Rangers?
Ooh. Great question. That's a tough call because I would normally say Voltron, but not super rewatchable. I don't think Voltron felt like the
Voltron was more of my childhood.
Yes,
but Power Rangers. I've been enjoying the comic books lately, so yeah.
I used to watch a lot of Power Rangers. We would come home from like classes in college, sit down, open a beer, and watch Power Rangers, Mystic Knights of Tir-na-Nog, which is a Power Rangers ripoff, and then 2 episodes of The Nanny. And that's how we would start our night.
Wow.
You started hard.
Whoa.
We'd go hard. We would start that at like 4 o'clock. It was like happy hour.
This is a little bit of a side note, but I interviewed Daniel Davis, who played the butler on The Nanny recently.
Why?
He's great. Yeah,
he plays
Moriarty on Star Trek, and
yes,
he showed up in Star Trek Picard.
Yeah.
Like he showed up again. So they offered, this is way too much information, but like most of the stuff they've been offering up as interviews is like, do you want to talk to Jonathan Frakes about playing Riker? Do you want to talk to Brent Spiner about playing Data? And they were like, this week we have Daniel Davis. And he's literally like, I don't even think he says 2 lines the entire episode. He shows up and he's like, I'm Moriarty. And then chases them around some hallways. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst. I don't know what I'm going to ask him. Ended up talking for like 15 solid minutes. Probably could have talked for more. Totally charming, wonderful man. It was great.
Wait, and he seems like an actor who like really works, really does stuff. Because like the Moriarty episodes of Next Generation are legit top tier Next Generation episodes. So I'm here for, and I've seen every episode of The Nanny many, many times. It's sort of my Princess Diaries. You know what I mean?
Excellent, excellent. Here we go. This is from Easy Reader. Hey guys, when are you going to come out with your own comic book?
Wow, that's
a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, what would it be like, us in comic book form, or would we write some kind of comic? I don't know. It'd be fun either way.
We're great at agreeing, and we're all talented at in so many different ways. Like, I know Pete, you're a great letterer, and I'm a great letterer, and Alex is a great letterer. So.
Right. So we got that covered.
So we're really, really good on the letter.
I'm also good at answering letters, which is a related skill to being a letterer. So we got the letter page and the letters in the book done. We just need to figure out the rest of it.
Story, art, and
that comes. You just start filling in the letters, and you see where you get to.
I mean, Alex has made some comics. I have sort of done a little bit of that, but never really committed to it. I would love to. I think if we could collaborate on that, we'd really have something.
Yeah, Pete, you're up for it, right? Or are you too busy watching Princess Diaries?
I would set aside time for comics.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's a commitment. That's a commitment, Easy Reader.
Okay. We got a very specific city question here from Jolene. How come Marvel 616 doesn't really have stories focusing on Chicago or Baltimore or Philadelphia? I think the big reason is nobody interesting lives there.
Come on, dude.
Shot fire. Oh, that's weird. We lost all of our listeners.
I don't know. Yeah.
So strange.
I mean, I agree. I agree with it's weird that there aren't comics and stories that happen in other cities. But what comic was it? Oh, it's the Joker comic that came out today where the Joker's in LA. And they spend a lot of the issue being like, well, there are no heroes in L.A. Why would there ever be a hero in L.A.? And it's like, I feel like so much of comics that take place in other cities that aren't New York really say like, well, you know, it's weird that we're here, but we're going to find some crime. And I'm like, yo, there's crime everywhere. I think everyone's just a little self-conscious when they set their character.
It's legitimately like, even without the cities or anything, anytime a hero goes outside of New York, they're like, well, here we are on the wide open countryside, nothing but fields of grain as far as you can see. And it's like, there's a lot more than that. There's a lot of different things. And I do, there are, Jillian Blue here is Beetle asking specifically about Texas. Marvel 616.
It was great.
The 50 state initiative that they did, the Avengers initiative thing, that was great because they really tried to reflect everything. Ultimately, they backed away from that. But that at least had some stuff in different cities. You have Great Lakes Avengers. Obviously, that's a goof, but they at least tried to do that in different ways sometimes. But yeah, I don't know. I think the legitimate, honest answer is, which is weird, like the large majority of comic book writers don't necessarily live in big cities, but I think they're so focused on Marvel characters are in New York that when they try to set it anywhere else, it just becomes a wash. I don't know if that's because of the editors wiping off the edges. That's probably the wrong, you know, expression, but like there's something about it where it's just even, I'm thinking about like Alpha Flight, where often it doesn't become specifically Canadian. It's just like Canadian tropes, you know?
Yeah. It gestures toward it. And I think you're right. Like, because the comic book industry was so focused on New York for so long, that became the default and the sort of expected place. But I would love
it's
to
also
see
where the offices were for both DC and Marvel. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
So the writers were intimately familiar with that, but not anything else. But even like Superman, you see him in Metropolis and then Smallville. I want to see him getting in through the suburbs. Surely there are suburbs around Metropolis that he must travel through, fly over, drive past. Let's see.
Do you know what? I know we give this big ups all the time. This is Marvel, but I feel like the Massiverse stuff, that seems like a discussion that they probably had of like, let's set this in other cities. Let's have this in other places and make every place distinct.
Well, I think a sense of place is more and more writers are doing that. And one of my favorite comics did this super well. Starman made Opal City like a big part of the story. And that just made, it was great world building, and it didn't feel weird that the most of the stories took place there.
Totally. This is from the big, hi guys. I was wondering if you knew anything new about how Donnie Cates is doing. I don't know anything about that. Is Donnie Cates not doing okay?
I haven't heard anything either. I've noticed that it seems like there's less Donnie Cates comic books on the market right now, but I just assumed he had so many coming out and maybe was just sort of resetting and writing more stuff, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has any information about that, I guess, but isn't he starting a new run on, oh gosh, he's Doctor Strange, I think. Am I wrong about that? Or there's some main Marvel title that he hasn't done before that he's supposed to be going on. Also, he has Vanish, which is coming out from Image, yep, which is like this very intense, like a classic Image comic style title. But I don't know if anybody knows anything. Or the big, maybe you're just asking that in a way where you're like, what's up with his comics? I don't know. There we go. This is from Easy Reader. Are there any video game comics you like?
Ooh. Well, I mean, the what was the one, Alex, that you loved, the DC, the Batman book?
Oh, the Batman Fortnite book?
Fortnite, yep.
That was awesome. It really was. So good.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, that, if anybody didn't check that out, because you're like, Fortnite, I don't care about it. It was a mostly silent story of Batman and Catwoman thrown into the Fortnite universe, not remembering who each other were and continually working their way back to each other. And it just got wilder and crazier from there. I'll tell you, the same creative team did a Marvel version of it, and it was a little more just like superhero mashup and sort of what I expected. Totally fine, but doesn't meet up to the DC Fortnite one, which was great.
I feel like they took some swings in that DC book and a little bit less so in the Marvel one, maybe.
Yeah. Here is one right in your wheelhouse, Justin. This is from Derek Mainhart. The Nanny or Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss?
Great question. I got to go Nanny.
Come on.
No, Nanny, the Nanny was Samantha. Everything was so simple and focused. Like, I agree. Tony Danza, the way he says all of those women's names.
I mean, come on.
But describe another point of that show besides him saying Samantha, Mona. Like, what else happens in that episode?
You know, they all have difficult, complicated lives, and they go through the trials and tribulations. And, you know,
that's every television program. You got like
a little window into their lives.
There are plots and dialogue and characters, all of those things.
I'm going to say the Nanny on the theme song alone. See you later.
Oh.
Woo. That's how she became the Nanny.
Yeah, because of my best friend Daniel Davis, I'm going to have to go with the Nanny as well. This is, I think we got one more here. This is from Felix Robb. I picked up Everything Sucks this week. Have any of y'all seen that comic? I have not, but I'm instantly intrigued.
I feel like we've talked about that, though.
Have we? No? We've talked about a lot of comic books.
We have. Yeah. I think we have.
It's entirely possible. Justin, you're our researcher. You check it out.
I'm digging in. I think, or maybe I just saw this being promoted. I like the look of the art when I saw the ad for it. Is what I must be thinking of. I'm definitely this. I would pick this up. It's very cartoony, right. Almost.
Felix, do you recommend it? Should we check it out?
Super dope. Apparently, super dope. Proposed to Real Gamer Hours that came out this week. All right, well, let's check out this stuff. I'll always love a good recommendation.
Yeah, thanks, Felix. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, and that is it for your audience questions.
Yeah, sorry, no time for your robot questions, Stray. You can save that for once you're under the thumb of your robot overlords.
Yes. We are going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage. All right.
Lovely audience, it's an opportunity to win $25 free online to Midtown Comics. It would be nice enough to help sell with gift cards. So, yeah, let's freaking do it. Do we have somebody?
We do. We have I don't want to ruin it too much, but
just
we have
a normal guest.
Spath is here. Spath.
Hi there.
Oh my god. For anybody who's just listening to the show, it is a cat puppet that is unrelated to anybody that we know who semi-regularly comes onto the show and asks us very difficult questions about comic book continuity.
I just want to take a moment here and just say that somehow I'm psychic. I wrote this hours and hours ahead of time, not knowing that this was happens, but it seems like the stars lined up for this one. So this is exciting. All right. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend, Paul Grant, RIP. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one, Spats. What Marvel event is spreading into July and August? Is it A, the Summer of Symbiotes, B, Horrible Drinking Buddy, or C, Dickie Beer? So it's either A, which makes sense, and the only one that could it could possibly be, Spats, or what do you think?
I think I'm going to go with choice A.
You are correct. The Summer Symbiotes should be a heck of a summer. Marvel's going hard on the symbiote stuff, so should be interesting. Should be pretty fun. Here we go.
Very
question
well
number
spoken,
two.
Spats.
Who has been added to Batman 2? Is it A, Clayface, B, Justin's mom's face, or C, Warwick Davis?
You know Justin's mom listens to this, right?
Yeah, she's going to hear you say that, Pete.
Huh? Yeah, just a shout out.
Mom, let me apologize personally for this maniac. Not just what he just said, but just in general.
I'm just a kitten. I don't know who any of those are. But I'm going to go with A.
Oh, wow. Well, for a kitten, you're pretty smart. Nice job. Two for two. Here we go. Last one. Netflix announced a new anime series based off a graphic novel which was written and drawn by blank. Is it A, Brian Lee O'Malley, B, Kevin Has Too Many Puppets, or C, Billy D. Williams?
And wow.
I'm going to go with A again.
Yeah, nice job, Brian Lee O'Malley. Yeah, Scott Pilgrim is going to be turned into anime. Should be a lot of fun. You're the smartest kitten I know, Spats.
Well, thank you. You're the smartest human I know.
Well, cool. Spats, you wanted to donate your $25 to charity or something like that? Was that correct, or did I get that wrong?
I'm going to say, since he put his hand up first, my prize should go to Easy Reader in the audience.
No, we're going to have Easy Reader come back next week and do it.
Yeah.
I assume Easy Reader is some sort of moose or something.
You know what, Spats? You know what? We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. We'll email about it. Thank you, Spats, so much
Spats
for coming
just
on.
Smoked some catnip. I use my guess.
Nice.
All right. Enjoy 420, Spats. We'll see you later. Goodbye. All right. Bye, there we go. Amazing.
And I'm sure if Kevin was here, he would have said the 1983 monster hit Return of the Jedi. So,
oh, what's that about?
It's about a Jedi returning. Pretty interesting stuff.
I'll check it out at some point.
Oh, it's not like when people like return, like, I don't need this. I'm going to return it for them. I want
here's
money.
Your Jedi.
No. Yeah. So, they're not returning a Jedi.
Can I get,
somebody
can I get a full refund
wasn't
for
happy
this?
With. Yeah, yeah.
No, this Jedi kid made out with his sister. Can I return this book? Well, anyway, as we all know, new comic books are coming out all the time. What are you looking
forward
to?
We do know that.
Pete?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward to The Joker, The Man Who Stopped Laughing, number 7. I was really blown away by this issue, not only the art, but I'm really having a great time with this story. And then Fables, number 158. It's just, it feels so good to have Fables back and back at the level that it was. So I'm having a blast.
Justin, what about you?
Great picks. I want to shout out, I've been really enjoying this amazing Spider-Man run that Zeb Wells has been doing, John Romita on Jr. on art, and it's, the pace has picked up so much. the story was being a little bit coy about what happened with Spider-Man, with Peter Parker and Mary Jane, and we're getting it. And I feel like everything's just moving so fast right now. So I'm really enjoying that. And I also wanted to shout out Batman 134, the backup that Chip Zdarsky did in this issue. I loved. And it's out right now. Definitely worth the pickup.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
Talking about that issue in the stack with you, JT says.
I too am looking forward. That's another podcast that we do. And what a great way to catch up with us.
Huh.
In a more free, rollicking, free-form way.
So a couple of things that I'm interested to check out. Dan Slott has been hyping up Spider-Man number 7 quite a bit online. So I'm very curious to check that one out, see what's going on. We kind of know what the big spoiler is, but curious to see what's going to happen anyway. And the other one that I'll mention is Love Everlasting number 6 from Image Comics, an absolutely wild book by Tom King and Elsa Charrettier. They basically broke the formula last issue to reveal a lot of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes and what has been happening with her romance heroine. So very curious to see how they pick up on all of that. And folks, that is it for this week's show.
Yeah.
A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Matt D. Wilson for coming on and talking about Zoom's Imposter Syndicate. Also, Daniel Kibblesmith for Archie Comics, Archie's Super Mecha Teens. This week's show is sponsored by our good friend Juan Espinosa, the man behind Bearded Man Comics. The goal of the company is to create stories showcasing Hispanic cultures, and they've got two great titles, Adventures of a System Admin and Mythology Stories. The comics are available at all major digital platforms such as Amazon, Apple Books, Comics Central, and Library Pass. You can also find the physical copies in a great amount of merchandise at the main website, beardedmancomics.com. Next week on the show, we're going to have two guests here. Kurt Pyers is going to be here once again to talk about Image Comics Indigo Children. And also,
Pyers Pile.
Dan DiDio is going to be here to talk about his new book and catch up on all the times we chatted with him in his office. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Couple other podcasts you can check out. Sons of a Gun, our DC podcast, is running every week with recaps and rewatches for the DC universe. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, we're rolling out news updates every week. Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, is back. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice, at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram or TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Good night, folks.
Take care.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.